We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Yeah, baby dirty, a beautiful Friday, and we got so much going on in Houston. The Astros play tonight, the Rockets open up their schedule, and we got to hear from the brass of the Texans today. And I think with everything happening in this city in terms of sports, the number one thing on people's minds is Deshaun Watson going to be here? How long is Deshaun Watson going to be here? Is he going to sign a deal? We saw Patrick Mahomes go. We're looking at what Dallas is doing with Dak. Are we going to get our guy signed up here? Bill O'Brien earlier today spoke on the latest with contracts talks with Deshaun Watson.
Respectfully, I just, you know, we're not going to talk about contracts in the media, but, you know, we obviously have stated we have so much belief in Deshaun. We love Deshaun. We want him here for a long time, but, you know, we're not going to negotiate contracts or do anything like that through the media. We'll keep that between us and Deshaun's representatives.
That's Bill O'Brien, the general manager, speaking on the contract, and we know they're in talks. And we believe they're going to get this done. We hear from too many people who know the situation better than we do that they're going to get it done. It should just be a matter of time.
Yeah, look, that's a couched response, right? I mean, you knew when that question was asked what you were going to get. You weren't going to get years. You weren't going to get dollar amounts. You weren't going to get guaranteed amounts.
You didn't think he was going to come out and say, here, guys, here's my bullet board here, right here we go.
I mean, it's almost one of them questions that's on – if you polled the media that's there, that question is on the top of the list of every one of them. And reality is nobody expected to get anything from O'Brien about the contracts. But I'm going to tell you, man, to me, Show, this is a huge deal. We're living in a world where COVID-19 is impacting, obviously, the revenues in all professional sports. The revenues that are generated or not generated in this case we all hear about the impact of COVID-19. There's a handful of players in this league and a handful of players in every professional league that are above the COVID-19 revenue line, right? The bottom line of revenue that's generated this year.
You mean people going to get their money?
There's certain players that are going to get their money. There's certain players that I ain't interested in hearing about, well, what about COVID-19? Deshaun Watson, he might do this. No. Deshaun Watson is a top five quarterback in this league. Deshaun Watson, you start talking about the young guys, he's a top two quarterback in this league. And this guy, you need to wrap this guy up as soon as you possibly can. And there's no waiting to it. And I'm going to tell you, Show, on the backside of that, if I'm Deshaun Watson, Chief, I ain't taking the field until I get mine.
You've been on that since day one, that you're not taking the field without a new deal. And you said what COVID even makes that even more of a bigger deal for you, that you would stand on with everything that we don't know about.
It don't even make sense, right? I mean, because when you really think about what Deshaun Watson's doing, these players are adamant about the acclimation period. They are educated, and they are adamant about getting that acclimation period, that ramp-up period. They fully understand, whether you're talking about the statistics from 2011 team in the uptick of injuries after they didn't have the normal offseason that the NFL typically has, or you're talking about just the conversations in the sports training world that goes on every day in their offseasons with people outside of the NFL. These guys are educated. They're aware of the injury risk increasing when your off seasons aren't up to par. And I think it's safe to say right now that the NFL off seasons, college football's off seasons, all the professional sports and college sports, their off seasons have not been up to par in terms of getting their bodies in the best shape to to play the game at a high level and minimize the risk of injury, right? That's not that this the last 3 or 4 months, they've not minimized the level of risk of injury for their body. And these guys are aware of that. And so with COVID-19 coming around, I'm not even talking about the virus aspect of it. I'm talking about the likelihood of getting an injury this season. It goes up, and it doesn't need to go up.
Because it 50. Did the last time there was a stop.
Yeah. And those guys were still able to go work out.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot more opportunity to condition their body at that point in time, show. So, yeah, I mean, if COVID-19 has done anything to the negotiations for Deshaun Watson, if I'm Deshaun Watson and I'm his representation, this ramps it up. This makes me feel even more strongly about, hey, man, I'm not taking the field until I got the guaranteed monies in the bank.
Well, that would mean that he would have to get it done before the season started if he went with your thought process. And to me, I think many people feel like that should happen. And I think many people we talk to feel like it will happen. You look at two quarterbacks this offseason, and they sure as hell got to go in one direction. One, Dak Prescott. Cowboys couldn't get any kind of long-term deal done. They were just on opposite ends. And then Patrick Mahomes, which has ramped up this process of when will Deshaun sign, they were able to get something done. I'm not saying that the Texans need to give him $500 million. I'm saying that the Texans need to find a way to get this to happen and get this out of the way and make a deal done prior to the season so you don't have the issues that Dallas is having with Dak Prescott.
For so many reasons, Show. The plain Jane aspect of this, of the relationship between the organization, the decision makers, and the quarterback, who's your future, that's extremely important. Look what's going on in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers right now and the head coach in the organization. Whoever in the hell thought that starting the season the way that Green Bay's starting the season this year with a quarterback that knows his days are numbered, he's a Hall of Famer, he won 13 games last year.
Matt LaFleur does.
Yeah, I mean, who thinks that's a good idea to start the season that way, right? And I know that Deshaun Watson's young, the situation's totally different, but you want to avoid that at all costs. So just the plain Jane aspect of the relationship building and how that relationship and that chemistry has to be so damn tight in order to win ball games at a high level for a long period of time. That alone is important. But so check these numbers. Deshaun Watson right now, in 2020, he's due to make $2.4 million. Now there's some people will tell you he's going to make $4 million, but $2 million of that $4 million, it was signing bonus, so he's getting that regardless what happens.
Yeah.
So this season, 2020, he's got $1.2 million in base salary, $1.2 million in a roster bonus, which equals $2.4 million. You bump to 2021, you got a $17.5 million base salary. That's the pay across the board. So you're looking at a guy that's roughly got $20 million due to him, assuming he stays healthy, right? He's got $20 million due to him. He's roughly earned 11, roughly. He's earned $11 million, okay? He's due $20 million. He's in line to have 100-plus guaranteed. What are you doing?
Not taking the field until I get that done.
Coach, I ain't taking a – look here. What, Coach? You want me to go scrimmage? Oh, you want me to go scrimmage? So
Jonathan, I've already torn my ACL twice.
Yeah. So Jonathan Grenard can try to earn that position at that outside linebacker and come around that corner and trip and fall and hit my – oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, let me – no, man. And people can miss me with the whole, well, you know, a knee injury, it's not career-ending. Hey, man, go ask Alex Smith what's career-ending and what's not.
It can happen quick.
I mean, I don't know if y'all seen that E60 or not, but they laid that dude's leg half open, looked like they were filleting a damn speckled trout out there caught in the bay yesterday.
That's right.
They laid it wide open and took half the meat out of it and –
half the meet up.
I don't know how in the hell he's going to end up playing football again.
Well,
somebody
needs to stop it.
And I know that's a once in a lifetime type of deal.
But it's possible. Chief. If you're Deshaun Watson, you get it, and you're his agent. It's possible.
Coach, $11 million. You live a damn good life.
What you say, Clint? You wouldn't go as much as you do. Is yeah, man. I take these. I'll take these COVID-19 tests. Oh, outside of that, baby.
Yeah. What? Lace the cleats up and get on the field.
I don't even know if I'm doing conditioning.
No. Reserve. You want me to change direction? I tell you what I'll do. I'll run. I'll Usain Bolt this thing. I'll run a straight line for you. You want to run? You want to run hundreds today? No, I'll run hundreds. I ain't planting my. I ain't sticking my foot in the ground and planting nothing until I get. I get inked up $100 million guaranteed deal.
I take all these COVID tests.
You can stick whatever you want in my nose, but let me tell you what ain't happening. Yeah, I mean, I just honestly show the more I hear people discuss it, and it's just like whatever. Like, no, man, my dude's made 11. Assuming he stays healthy the next 2 years, he's going to make 20. And he's positioned himself. He's worked his entire life. You can talk about dreams and goals and all this kind of crap all you want. You've worked your entire life to set up you, your mama, your brothers, sisters, your cousin, however you want to spend that money, you've worked your entire life to do it. And $11 million, you can, I wouldn't advise you do that with $11 million, but you can take care of some folks for a few years with $11 million.
Yeah, but not what you got a chance to.
100 plus? I feel real comfortable about buying little cousin a Range Rover at 100 million plus guarantee. Yeah.
Now I do what Kendrick Lamar did.
What'd Kendrick do?
He brought his little sister a Toyota Camry.
A Toyota Camry, huh?
Yeah.
If I was a little sister, I'd be mad as hell.
Would you? He told her.
He got a Toyota Camry in his left earlobe.
He paid for her college, but he brought her. He bought her a Toyota Camry. What? Nah.
No. His sister.
He told her, "I got money, and I'm gonna hook you up." But I ain't going to buy you nothing so crazy that you don't get me. You still got to work for this. It ain't selfish.
He got a Toyota Camry hanging in his left earlobe, and you talking about, no.
No, geez. That's his money.
That's fine. I'm just saying.
She knows.
If I signed a contract, and I'm one that tells these cats, like, man, y'all put y'all's money up and quit buying everybody and anybody a damn house and cars and all that kind of job. 100 million plus guaranteed? Yeah, I'd buy my brother a vehicle.
Yeah, he bought his sister a vehicle. A Toyota Camry.
My brother can buy his own damn Toyota Camry.
It was a new one.
The crazy thing is, if my brother was still here, he'd be like, yeah, I want to give me a 1996 extended cab stepside Chevy.
And you'd get it for him.
Well, yeah, I'd get him two of them. That's good. You can get them for about $7,000, I think. Come on, man.
What's wrong with that? And it was 2 years ago, so it was probably cheaper than that. A Toyota Camry? No, buy it. I got money. I'm going to still make you work. What do you think he should have got her? Whatever she wanted?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't.
A Maybach?
I wouldn't suggest spending $250,000 on a car for a little sis. But I mean, damn, get her something where she pulls up in it. Everybody's like, damn, who is that?
But that's not what, no, he wants her to learn. You want something like that, you make the money and buy it yourself.
$24,000 out of $100 million is just disrespectful.
It's disrespectful, no question.
My kids are 6'3". In 4 months, if this thing takes off and we really blow up in this bad boy and Lil Show starts driving at 16, his car is not changing from what I have in mind right now.
Hold on, Show.
I'm just going to tell you, one, you're full of bull.
Chevy Cavalier.
If money was not an issue, like if you walked in.
Chevy Cavalier, and they're all passing them.
You're dead ass wrong. Lil Show, we're going to cut that right there, spot that. When Lil Show turns 16, I'm going to send it to him.
He's got two choices, Chevy Cavalier and a 2000 Cherokee.
No, stop. He better choose that Cherokee, boy. That 2000 Cherokee, would be that humbuck will go hard in 2030.
Yeah, we'll put some rims on it.
He said, yeah, we'll put some rims. Hey, put some rims on it, a couple JL Audio 10s in the back. He ain't got to put them in the back seat. He can put them in the very back. He got some cargo space.
Oh, God, yeah. Man, ain't nothing wrong with that, man.
Nah, man. They better get Deshaun Watson's deal done, man. 100 million. I ain't lacing the cleats up. For what? No, 100 million guaranteed or I ain't lacing them up, coach.
Oh, God. All right, Houston, I know it's kind of been hard for some of you to believe the direction of the Texans, but that has to change right now with everything they're doing. We will prove to you why coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Any fight on them computers, log out. All them haters want to jig. Tight, no slick, just bought a Cadillac. Throw some D's on that,
just bought a Cadillac. Hey, let me tell you what.
That's what you better buy a little Show right there. Cadillac.
There's not a
no
chance.
No damn Camry.
There's no. No, I wouldn't, but no, a Camry? That's what I'm driving right now. Hell no, I ain't getting no Camry. I told you. Man, we got two shots. Get you a real. What's that? Chevy make a Cobalt or something like that? Nice.
He's so full.
The hell
of
they
it.
Make?
There ain't no way. I ain't been around Show long enough. There ain't no way in hell people going to see Ron the Show Uglies, 16-year-old Lil Show, pull up in no raggedy Camry?
One of my best friends in the world.
You don't want to talk about it?
I'm going to tell you this.
How right was I just then?
You weren't right.
You're crazy.
You're dead wrong.
Somebody look over and be like, damn, that's a little show. Show come home one time and be like, Dad, people say, they can't believe that you got.
Okay, right, no, hold on.
Okay, he'll be across the street right over here at that Mercedes Benz getting the shit, buying a little man a beer.
I ain't going to have him in nothing raggedy. He ain't getting no top of the line.
Oh, you talking
He's not
like
getting no top of the
lessons.
Line. My best friend, one of my best friends growing up, his dad should be Hall of Famer. Defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs and Denver Broncos, Neil Smith. He should be in the Hall. That was his. Josh didn't have a car through high school. I drove us in that. You remember the hatchback I told you about? I had the station wagon with the bike racks. That was what I drove. Josh didn't drive. His dad's Neil Smith, professional football player. Neil used to always tell us, Josh, I have money. You don't have a dime. I got money. I feel.
You got your selfish thoughts from him.
That's terrible.
I got money, and I want you to earn it. You need to learn to earn it. If I get you a Benz at 16, oh, shoot, I got it made. Pops is right there. He got me. Hell no. You really sit in a
100 plus million? My man's pulling up to the schoolhouse and something. People go, yep, there goes a little Stern. There goes a little Dirty right there. Yep, that's him. Every girl in that joint would be like, damn, okay, Dirty.
I ain't going to have him in a Festiva, but.
You was trying to put him in a Dodge Dart in the break.
That ain't bad. Those new Dodge Darts.
Oh, no, there ain't nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with any of it, but if you got 100 mil and you're going to put your boy in a Dart, you're selfish. Go ahead. I don't even know where you're going with it.
From the text line, 832 shows dead ass wrong. The whole point to make your family's life better. Heck, just put a bunch of cash in an account. No. Yes, to make it better don't mean there's a thin line between making it better and then them people in your family thinking, nah, man, shoot, they just do whatever they.
You're just asking for your son to hate you.
Look here. When
not asking for hate me?
If when they turn 16, you got to use buying a certain car or not to teach them that they got to work hard, and hell, you failed them for 16 years.
No, that's just a part of it.
No,
you get him a strong Honda Accord.
I disagree. Who was it? Was it Bill? Who was it? Who'd you say it was? Who's Josh's daddy?
Neil Smith.
Neil, I used to like Neil. Damn, Neil.
We'll have him on.
You had 16 years to teach him right. Instead, my man Show had to drive him around. I'm asking about that.
Neil.
I'm probably going to take a little bit of the bass out of my voice when I do it, but I'm asking about it.
We'll have Neil on when the Texans play the Chiefs. My man Neil changed my whole life on Halloween. He used to give out full candy bars, like not fun sizes. Neil, you come to his house.
So help me make sense of this. Neil's going to go out there and blow the cheddar to have full-size candy bars full to hand out to kids bars. He don't know. You're driving his son around at 16.
I was picking him up for football.
Come on, Neil. That don't even make no sense.
Yeah, right. He was 17, too.
You had some perks in that job. Go ahead, though.
I'm telling you. No, they talked about Deshaun. That was a big thing that I think a lot of Texans fans want to know about. But the other thing, man, listen, I know some people have struggled with the direction of the Texans at times. But they're, as we said, setting the bar earlier this week with the health and the protocols they're going with. And I think it could be a real advantage, Clint, for the season. This is Bill O'Brien in discussing some of the things they're doing, some of the protocols they're having in trying to keep their players as safe as possible.
Our building has been basically redone, refurbished in every way, shape, or form. You've got three different locker rooms we're using, the cafeteria's redone, new flooring, everything. So I feel like we're headed in the right direction. The McNairs have invested a lot of money in the improvements, what it was going to take to get this building ready. And I mean, this building, you could eat off the floor in here. And I think we have a good schedule. We've broken the team up into five different teams. And so guys are staggered coming into the building and the weightlifting staggered and the training rooms. We have three different training rooms. And then eventually we'll all end up on the field at the same time. But the scheduling has been a monumental task. But I feel like, you know, we're off to a good start with scheduling.
Clint, I think this is a big deal. Because we hear all the money that the Texans are putting into changing their whole facility. I just don't think all teams in the league are putting this much into the safety protocols. I'm not saying they're not, but this much into the safety protocols,
Clinton, I think down the line that's got a chance to be a huge, huge advantage for the Texans.
Oh, I think it's a big-time advantage. I mean, look, I mean, I've told you some of the stories about what the hell the Dolphins were doing in a regular season.
Yeah, who knows what they're doing.
I mean, they couldn't even figure out how to game plan, much less handle COVID-19 and cleaning their building up.
I think they just put tarp on the ground in Cleveland here, guys.
I mean, so look, to think that every team in this league or even a majority of teams in this league are handling the COVID-19 protocols and going above and beyond, answering every possible risk, the way the Texans have and will continue to do is crazy. There's no question about it that the way the Texans have handled the COVID-19 from the football aspect of things and having the Zoom meetings and teaching virtually, all the way to the health and safety minimizing risk for the players of NRG at this point in time. There's no doubt that they are in they're in a league of not their own, but they're in a league of I would say a handful of teams that could possibly create a huge advantage by not having positive tests, not having any positive tests spike into an outbreak. This is not that it can't happen, not that they're above that, but they are going above and beyond defending that right there.
They really are. And Jack Easterby, it seems to be second in command. Him and Bill O'Brien are right there, seem to be on the same line in terms of decision making in the organization. He's even going even further with this, saying that the Texans themselves have watched other sports to gain ideas and thoughts of what they want to do to improve things.
We've studied other sports. We've studied all the way around the globe, really, at how this has been handled. And we've definitely kept our eye on it. Bill and I are in constant communication about things that are going on in other sports and trying to learn those lessons, both in the windshield and in the rearview mirror of what's happening in our building. And we're very aware of those things. And that's educated us at how we can serve our players the best.
I think when you look at, and I see the text line here, 713-572-4610, you can jump in. I can see the Bengals doing the absolute bare minimum. I think people look at teams like the Bengals. I just think about teams around the league that aren't always button up. Good teams, the Steelers, the Seahawks, like those are teams that aren't always button up. And in a league that is a touchdown league, most of the games are determined by a touchdown. The Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, had 16 regular season games last year. 10 of them were determined one score. The awful, horribly run Jets were 7-9, and they had a couple of more than a game where they lost by just a touchdown or less. This is a one score game to try to gain any advantage you can. And if the Texans are amongst the league leaders in terms of positive tests that are down because of the stuff they're doing at this moment, that could be a huge advantage going into games each and every week.
The effort across the board is an advantage. I think what Jack Easterby was talking about right there, in a sense of paying attention to what's going on around the country in America, in the U.S., and abroad around the world, really, and talking to doctors and things of that nature, and figuring out what the right plan of attack is. I think that's big, man. Here's the thing. When you talk about the NFL and the Texans in particular, watching the way Major League Baseball and the way that the NBA has handled things, now, I think they're going to fall in the middle, Show. I mean, I think the Texans are going to fall in the middle. Obviously, they've already canceled preseason games, so they're not going to go to the length of allowing their organizations to go scrimmage Kansas City for 2 days.
Yeah.
Right. So they're not going to, I don't think they're going to be in the same category as Major League Baseball with all the travel, teams playing their own stadiums, things of that nature. I mean that preseason wise, like all the preseason games, it's going to be practice at home and play games. That's it. There's not going to be any of the exhibition stuff. And so I think they're not going to be as loose with it as Major League Baseball. They obviously can't do the bubble.
But they're going to avoid a Miami Marlins situation.
Well, they're going to land in the middle. That's where I was going. They're going to land in the middle, Show. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are going, what the hell is the NFL doing? What are the Texans doing? Just canceled all of sports. Man, baseball ain't done a bad job. The Marlins have done a poor job. But ultimately, most of the fallout that baseball struggled with has come from, has stemmed from the Marlins. Yeah, you've got individuals. You've got two threes.
Cardinals today had a couple.
Yeah, and look, it may get worse. I may be totally wrong, but to think that this can't be done outside of a 24/7 bubble from start to finish, I think that's getting a little bit carried away at this point in time. And it just seems like Jack Easterby is paying attention to all of those things and trying to gather the and put in place the best protocols beyond the NFL protocols, put in the best protocols for the Texans to do it the best way that they possibly can. They're paying attention to what the hell's going on around them, and I just don't think that Major League Baseball or the NBA are doing a bad job. I think they're both doing a pretty damn good job outside of Miami Marlins.
Yeah, the NBA, definitely. They don't have getting any tests, in the bubble. But, yeah, they're doing – when, especially when you see the stretch and the lengths that the Texans are going to make this happen, yes. Like, you have to – I think as a Texan fan, feel really, really great about this. And there could be an advantage down the line from this. All right, the Rockets start their quest for a championship tonight. But, Clint, I think we need to have a serious conversation with the listeners. Houston, I hope you're ready. We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Folks, I wish you could tell how excited Tyler is tonight for Rockets basketball.
I'm so excited!
Now, he didn't wear any Rockets gear today, but he's expressed being so excited about this. They start their quest tonight, Clint. They start their quest, and the leader of the Rockets wants to let everybody know he's ready. The leader of the Rockets has a message for you, H-Town.
We're bringing it back to H-Town. You know, we've come up short these last few years, but this is another opportunity for us to fight for it and get after it again. So we got some grinding to do, some work to do, but the goal is to bring it back to H-Town.
That's right, baby. That's James Harden, baby. That's Jim Harden bringing it back, bringing it back to H-Town.
That's what I want to hear from the leadership of any Houston sports, professional sports franchise before this thing cranks up. I want to know that what's gone on in this case, the delay in play, the 4-month delay in play. I want to know precisely that my guys are confident in what they've done for 4 months, what the team has done for 4 months, and what it all means the night before you crank things back up. Now, I don't know that they're going to go win a championship. Obviously, the odds are stacked against them. But, damn it, I absolutely love James Harden taking the initiative to step to the plate and make that statement right there on the eve of crank it back up time. I love it.
Yeah, I do too. I want to hear from the people because I want to have a conversation, Clint, with the Rockets fans out there that are listening, 713-572-4610. You can text in, call in. It feels like the city is not taking this team serious. Like, it for whatever reason. Like, it feels like, from what I see on social media, conversations we have, that people aren't taking this team serious into winning big, right? And they have a crew. They've got two of the best players in the game on their team. They've got a group, but it feels like people aren't taking this crew serious enough. And I'm listening to you the other day when we talked about Verlander's injury, and we went through and we said, which Houston team would you say has the best chance to win a championship? And you said the Rockets, number one. And I thought, now, I don't know that I agree with that, but if that's a place that you feel, and I'm sure if I know Tyler, he agreed with you because Tyler just agrees with Clint.
He's a smart guy.
But if that's the place, I don't feel like people in the city have that feel of this is real. This is real in terms of their chancing of winning. It's kind of odd.
Well, if you're a true fan, and literally your emotions swing throughout a four-quarter game when the Rockets are playing, truth be told, they hadn't given you a whole hell of a lot of a reason to be confident that they're going to make a championship run, right? I mean, I'm not a run it back guy. So I put a lot of stock in, let's try it a different way.
If it can work, get
behind that move and we can make a push. And if it don't work, it don't work.
Well, you was good with the Russ move, and you were good with the move
absolutely.
Of Capella, because this isn't working.
I said it for a year and a half, show right here. Like Capella's lack of offensive skill, it was killing the Rockets. It was absolutely killing the Rockets. And so every other aspect of his game, when he didn't rebound well versus Golden State against Looney, right? Looney's in there getting physical, getting rebounds, getting Steph Curry and these cats extra looks, more looks, offensive rebounds, kick out, another shot. And so those things get magnified when you're so limited on the offensive end of the floor. And so I looked at him and was like, okay, if it's not going to work, let's move on. So, yes, I was great with the Chris Paul move for Russell Westbrook. I was not down on Chris Paul the way that a lot of people were. I didn't buy the whole, he's older and he can't – I mean, he's obviously older, but he's playing at a pretty high level. One hamstring injury, and my man all of a sudden is too old to play, needs to retire, right? He's old and decrepit, which he obviously is aging. But nonetheless, I was okay with the Westbrook move because you bring in Westbrook, one of the best in the game, right? Obviously. You make the move with Capella. I love the transition to a different style of ball when what you were doing wasn't going to win you a championship. Don't be happy with mediocrity. Like that drives me up a wall, man. Don't settle for mediocrity. And so I don't know if it's going to win. My point to your question, show, is I don't know that all the change when they sell you how important Capella is, sell you how important Chris Paul is and how it's going to work. And with James Harden, you're going to win big and you don't win, right? And then all of a sudden you make the move with Chris Paul and Westbrook. Okay, it's going to work. And then all of a sudden you go, now they're moving – they're number three, right? They're moving Capella. Now, so you've been convinced that this is going to work for so long, and they keep shipping parts out and bringing other guys in. So I can sense, if I'm a fan, I can see sitting there going, man, I'm having a hard time buying in again with this most recent move. Yeah. So a lot of fans, I think, stops right there. It stops right there for a lot of fans, show, which that's fine. People got lives. People got stuff to do. I just look at it a little differently of like, I'm not a run it back guy. I love the changes. And the little bit of a snippet that we've seen of this small ball when Westbrook's doing his thing and the way that Harden's bought in, man, that's a reason to be excited as hell.
713-572-4610. You can call in, text in. What it feels like to me, Houston doesn't take this Rockets team serious. Rockets team, because the Astros, I feel like Houston takes the Astros serious in terms of being able to win a championship, like especially the start of the year. Now, after the Verlander injury, I think people are down. But the start of the year, I feel like people took this team serious. Tyler, you are the biggest Rockets fan I know. Like, do you take this group serious?
Man, this team finds a way every year to suck me back in, dude. I mean, every year I'm so pissed off at this team. I mean, whether it's Harden quitting with the Spurs or all the excuses that come with that, I get so mad at them every year, infuriated, and I swear off of them. But with these changes, like Clint's saying, I think you do got to take the team serious. I think all the excuses are out the window, or at least they should be. The whole Harden exhausts himself throughout the season. That excuse isn't there this year. You are completely rested. You're coming in. You got the talent. You got to make something happen. They got to at least achieve something they haven't in the last 2 to 3 years.
It just feels like people are – all right, it just doesn't feel like people believe that this team is not that they're not going to be good or anything, but it doesn't feel like there is a level of belief of like this team can win a championship. But I'm just seeing here right here on the text line, who cares? There's no way they can beat the Lakers or the Clippers. Listen, I'm inclined to probably agree with you on that. I've said from the beginning, I've had a hard time seeing them beat those two teams. But if I'm a Rockets fan and I watched those two teams play last night, I know it's early, but
I really struggle with that.
I don't look at those two teams and thought last night, well, you know what? The Rockets can't get those teams. I wouldn't have been intimidated if I'm a Rockets fan and I watched that game last night between the Lakers and the Clippers, I'd say to myself, man, if the Rockets are playing their game, they can get them jokers. Like, it's not like they're the Warriors where you felt like, God, dog, when they had Kevin Durant, you can't.
But obviously, that's where I was going with that. Like, even to me, like, obviously they're not the favorite. And I'm going to sit here and tell you they're going to beat the Clippers or they're going to beat the Lakers or they're going to beat the – I'm not going to tell you that. But the whole who cares, they're not going to beat somebody, whether – I don't care who it is in terms of who their opponent is. They're better than that, ain't they?
I think so.
I mean, even with Golden State, right? And even with Golden State in the middle of a dynasty, as good as they were with all the players they had, I never went into a game with the Rockets. It never's a long time because I wasn't in this business the first few times they played, but I didn't go into a game and go, yeah, Rockets ain't got a chance tonight. They got zero.
Man, do you feel like this group of Rockets are better than the ones that face the Warriors? I know Chris is a better shooter than Russ, and maybe we haven't seen enough of them yet, but
I think I think the talent, they're more athletic, and I think the most important part of all of this is the true relationship between Harden and Westbrook. Like Harden's, you see now a new look Harden. Like, why is that? Why at this point in your career? And I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if it's purposely done. I don't know if we just don't know about COVID-19 and he lost some weight. I have no idea how. But to me, it looks like all of a sudden there's a different level of buy-in and commitment from James Harden. Whether you look at his appearance, the fact that he's lost weight and appears to be in better shape, the fact that he's more vocal. You just heard him talking about bringing it back to H-Town. Or the fact that the 15 game of small ball that we saw, really the whole season that we saw leading up to COVID-19, there was such a buy-in and a game change on Harden's behalf that I think the biggest difference, yes, they're more athletic. The biggest difference is the chemistry between the two superstars is from birth. You know what I mean? It's like these cats grew up together. These cats been tied at the hip for so long that that's a powerful fact about the Rockets. And so I think they're better and more equipped to make a run now than when it was Paul and Westbrook. I could be wrong. I'm sure there's teams back when with Chris Paul and Harden that I'm leaving out, guys that I'm leaving out, like supporting cast that I'm leaving out. But in terms of those two, the guys that give them the chance to be mentioned in the conversation with the Lakers and the Clippers and everybody else, there's no doubt.
And see, now when I hear you break that down, because I agree with you, especially, right, Tyler, if you have a good Eric Gordon, if you have a right Eric Gordon, Covington, the rest of that crew, like I look at that, I think they probably are better. I would take that group over the Chris Paul team, the Chris Paul Harden team. I take this group, and as we're talking, it feels like Houston isn't taking this team, this Houston Rockets team, serious. And Clint said to him, with Verlander out, the Rockets are the team he thinks has the best chance to win a championship.
I do.
And so everything you just broke down with this group, the Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Draymond, and Klay Thompson Warriors that you took to the damn brink and that everyone believes if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt, it feels like you win that game. It feels like you get game 6 or 7.
Right.
The Lakers and Clippers are not better. And I love LeBron. You know how I feel about LeBron and his family, Savannah. Fantastic people.
Yeah, you told me how lucky his wife was yesterday.
Really, we're all lucky to be in the world with LeBron, except for his hair. Got to do something about that last night.
Lost your damn
mind. Got to do something about that. But the Lakers and Clippers, as powerful as they are, they are not on this. Am I off on this? They are not on the same level of Steph, Durant, Draymond, Klay, all the supporting pieces, Steve Kerr, they're not on this level of those Warriors team. So why don't you believe this group can well, be?
I agree with you.
I didn't meant to talk myself.
I think the Clippers, with everybody, all their pieces together, they have a chance to be.
You think they could be like that Warriors team?
I think I would say that they. I'm not going to rule it out. I'm going to say that the style of play, the depth that is. I could see them possibly making a run that could. I would pick them before I'd pick the Lakers. Now, I don't think either one of them are at this point in time Golden State. And my point to you is I don't remember ever as good as Golden State was. And I think we'll both agree, without getting off in the weeds, we'll agree that Golden State's better than the two teams,
yes,
the two LA teams right now. And I don't remember discussing a game on the radio that the Rockets were playing in those series and go and literally, because what we're talking about is the fans getting behind the team ultimately. Like, I don't remember.
There's no buzz.
I don't remember going, man, they just ain't got a chance in hell tonight. Underdog, yeah, but never, nah, they just ain't got a chance. You get excited about the game because you feel like your team belongs and they got a chance to win. I don't see that being any different this year than it's ever been.
713-572-4610, Jim in Pearland. Go ahead. It feels like Houston isn't taking this team serious. Where do you stand on this, Jim?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be on. I love your show.
Appreciate you.
Y'all are a good pair.
All right. Yeah, thank you, man.
Oh, no problem. I and most of the people I know, we just can't take the Rockets serious. There's just no way. If you take the playoff and big game playoff record of James Harden, and then you take the big playoff game record of Russ, and you mix them all together and come out where they are, you're going to be pretty unsurprised that you just can't take them serious. They might get past the first round, but they get up against anyone good at all, I'll say, against Denver, the Clippers or the Lakers, they ain't got a chance. Anyway, I'll keep it short and sweet. Enjoy your show. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Jim. Listen, I can't argue that. The history of James and Russ in the playoffs is a thing that comes in my head, but I lean a little bit on the guys we talked to, Clint. We talked to Brian Scalabrine. We've talked to Ryan McDonough, former GM of the Suns, who's on with us each and every Tuesday at 2:30. Both of them have said they feel like this setting could be different for them. They feel like this setting in a bubble, maybe without the fans of the travel and things like that, could be different. But he makes a hell of a point, man. Those two players have just not been big in big moments.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I mean, it's a great point. Appreciate the call, Jim. By the way, is you kept it short and sweet. You left slow out of there. Short, slow, and sweet, baby. I need some of Jim's Friday morning juice, baby. No, that was good. I've been very critical of James Harden in the past on this radio show. I mean, with Sean Pendergast multiple times, and there's no question. I didn't think about it when we were talking. The fan base, the fear of being let down once again with James Harden is clearly a fear for the fan base. You don't want to get too excited. You don't want to get riled up because here we go again. And I can't blame them for that. My one pushback is what I said earlier. The buy-in from James Harden at this point in time is something that I don't recall seeing. Whether you're talking about the body, whether you're talking about the chemistry with him and Westbrook, or you're talking about the change, the tweaks to his style of play and being willing to play off the ball some and be willing to share his team with Westbrook. I don't care what anybody says. I believe the Chris Paul, James Harden dynamic, the chemistry was never there. And you forget about, Chris Paul.
And they
was,
still almost won the thing.
Yeah.
And they still almost beat the Warriors.
It was oil and water. You know what I mean? It was oil and water, man. It was never the chemistry aspect of it was never there. Talented, hell yeah, but the chemistry based on what it could be, it was never close. I think the chemistry this year is reason enough to get excited about this team.
And we said we're talking here, Houston. It feels like Houston doesn't take this Rockets team serious as they get set tonight to start their quest on a championship. And Clint, see, when I listen to Jim sounds like an analyst. When I listen to Tyler sounds like a fan. That's why I'm surprised that, man, fans just need a sliver. Just a little bit of sliver to get sucked
in. A sliver of hope, right?
As Tyler said, Jim sounded like an analyst breaking it down. Like
Jim sounded like he was tired of being let down.
That's what he sounded like. But, shoot, man, if I'm all I need tonight, let me see. Let me see Russ and James go for 65, combined for 65 tonight. If I'm a Rockets fan, they got me. I'm in. Right? I just need a sliver. And it just seems like, man, you've seen since they made the switch to this style, Russell Westbrook, if you listen to Kendrick Perkins, he'll tell you, and you should be feeling like they got a chance to win it all. But Russell Westbrook, since this change, he's been a completely different player. He's led the NBA in paint points as the point guard, like since they've gone to this style of offense. And like when you watch that, I'm just like, I'm just surprised the fan base. There's no buzz. There's none of that to me. It feels like, and it just feels like I'm not taking these.
To add to your Westbrook stat there of leading the league in paint points, there was one point when in the 15 game span where James Harden was leading the league in drive points, getting to the rim, getting buckets. I mean, that's saying a whole hell of a lot when you're talking about a guy that's arguably one of the best shooters in the league. Almost said bestly before. I didn't want to put Steph Curry out there, but one of the best shooters in this league from distance. I mean, look, and about tonight, guys, it's the Mavericks, man. If you can't get up for Houston, Dallas matchup, I don't give a damn if it's ping pong.
I'm so excited.
If you can't get up for that right there, come on, man. It's Rockets Mavs tonight at 8 p.m. Come on. Friday night?
Get it up.
Friday night, one mission versus Dallas? Come on, man.
Really appreciate the Rockets for all that beautiful stuff they sent us.
Ooh, yeah, really nice little care package.
It really was.
Everybody about the nice gesture that I made for you? Like, I thought about your kids more than maybe even you did at that point in time? Yeah, Courtney.
You can't.
What up, Popsicle?
You can't say it to try to get other people to say it for you, man. Just let other people be humble, man.
Nope.
Let me bring it up.
Nope.
Let me bring it up.
Nope.
Guys, Clint wants you to know that Clint gave me a lot of the fun kid stuff so both of my older kids could have it, guys. Give it up for Clint.
That's right.
Give it up for Clint.
He's going to take on.
You take away from it when you bring it up.
I don't take away from it. I'm okay with it. Who is the one of your kids that you're – That you're the most concerned about, just wild, go get it, all gas, no brakes.
That nut, Lauren.
Right, Lauren. Yeah, and you thought walking in the damn house with a bag full of Rockets gear for a little show was a good idea, and I saved your ass. I said, look, old Popsicle would have been mad at you. Popsicle would have been mad at you if you'd have walked in with
I'm
one.
I'm telling her that. You're calling her that now. The Big 3 at 3, the stories Houston needs to know coming up next.
We bringing it back to H-Town.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.